Can't try to be cute about this one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. A lot of little phrases come to mind, but none of them seem quite right when it comes to today's unemployment report. We knew it was going to be a big number, but it's more than any economist was predicting. Employers cut 598,000 jobs in January. That's the most since the end of 1974. The unemployment rate is 7.6%. Bernard Baumol with the Economic Outlook Group is with us. Bernard, what do these numbers say to you about the severity of the recession at this point?
It tells us that the economy is nowhere near yet bottoming out, that we are truly facing, coming face to face with the depression monster.
January tends to be a tricky month, though, for these numbers. Can you explain that?
Yes, it is. And the reason is because a lot of businesses have taken a look at the economic outlook and see nothing but bleak news ahead. And what they've done is they've made a decision late last year that they were going to significantly trim their payrolls. But they waited, of course, until after the holiday season. And so that's why January, we really did see this significant spike in layoffs. It may very well continue for the next 2 or 3 months, but I do expect it will level off and probably decline as we go into the spring and summer quarters.
Why is Wall Street not diving on this news this morning?
Well, I think the psychology of the market is focused a great deal on the stimulus package. If Wall Street saw that Congress was simply arguing among themselves and delaying the completion of an economic stimulus program, then I could see the markets react very badly. But now that we're seeing just a consistent stream of economic reports showing just how dire the situation is, it puts a lot more pressure on Congress to get things done. And I think the markets do expect to see an economic stimulus package in the works very soon.
Bernard Baumol is Managing Director of the Economic Outlook Group. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Wall Street's counting on the Senate to give its okay to the stimulus plan today. So far, the Dow is up 121 points, 1.5% to 8,184. The NASDAQ also up 1.5%. The S&P 500 up 1.3%. Shares in Europe are up too, and Asian markets ended their day higher. In this environment, it's not easy to tell a good investment from a bad investment. I get it. But is that the government's excuse? A congressional watchdog says taxpayers overpaid by the billions when they bailed out troubled financial institutions. The worst investments were, can I get a drum roll, please? Citigroup and AIG. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
The report found that Treasury overpaid by $78 billion. Harvard professor Elizabeth Warren chairs a panel that keeps tabs on the bailout. She says Treasury lost money on nearly all of its investments, but those losses varied.
For every $100 invested in Wells Fargo, for example, Treasury got back about $93. By contrast, with Citigroup, it got back about $62.
In the report, the independent firm Duff & Phelps compared government bailouts to investments made by the private sector. It found private firms made a killing, even as taxpayers got bilked. Berkshire Hathaway's $5 billion investment in Goldman Sachs in September had an immediate return of 10%. That means Warren Buffett's firm made $500 million in one day, if anyone's counting. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Fannie Mae will start a new program in April to break up the logjam for mortgage refinancing. Reports say the company plans to drop some credit score requirements and, in some cases, waive the need for appraisals.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers.
The National Safety Transportation Board usually focuses on commercial airline crashes. This week, they've been looking at air ambulances. In question are companies that send out choppers to rescue people and airlift them to a hospital. Jill Barchet has this look at how medicine and business collide.
As fans of the TV show MASH know, medical evacuation has been around for over a half century. But it's only recently grown to a $2.5 billion civilian business. In the last 10 years, the number of helicopter ambulances has doubled, but the number of accidents has skyrocketed. Last year, 28 people died in medevac crashes.
This has everybody's attention. We have an accident set of numbers that's completely unacceptable.
Thomas Judge runs a nonprofit medical evacuation program in Maine. He says it's not clear what's causing all these accidents, but he believes money is a factor. Helicopter companies charge $10,000 or more for each mission. If they don't pick up patients, they don't get paid.
They're under pressure to find, flights because the revenue for the system is based on flights. That now we're making a decision that's not based on medicine. We're making a decision that's based on business.
Business concerns are also why many firms are not buying costly safety equipment. Dr. Kevin Hutton is with the Association of Air Medical Services, the industry trade group. He says helicopters are expensive and profit margins are thin.
Anytime we adapt, anytime we add a safety technology, anytime we do anything that's going to cost us additional money, we have no way of getting reimbursed for that right now.
Dr. Hutton predicts new safety costs will force air ambulance companies to retreat from some rural communities. If that happens, it could affect the health of people who live in small towns. Many of their hospitals don't have neurosurgeons or cardiac specialists, and they rely on air ambulances. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
There's a lot to process about the economic fallout, and we have plenty of tools for you at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.